People are the same, aren't we, everywhere we go, and we think we've changed over time. But we're the same. According to Greek mythology, I used to love Greek mythology back in when we learned it in English class back in sixth grade down there at Cherry Hill. Mrs. Smith, anybody else have her? Anybody remember that lovely lady? She was awesome. So nice. According to Greek mythology, in the beginning, this sounds familiar, doesn't it? The earth was free from toil and misery. The land was covered with flowers and rivers flowed with milk and honey. These guys are copycats, aren't they? The earth was inhabited only by men who had been created by Prometheus. He made them of clay, and he modeled them after the gods, which angered Zeus, the king of the gods. When Prometheus offended Zeus again by stealing fire from heaven and giving it to men, Zeus exacted revenge. He ordered Hephaestus, the god of the forge, to create Pandora, the first woman. The gods gave her many traits, including beauty and curiosity and charm and cleverness. He sure did, didn't he? Hence to the name Pandora, meaning all gifted, or a gift to all. Before he left Pandora on Earth, Zeus handed her a beautiful box and he said, "This is my special gift to you. Don't ever open it." As Zeus anticipated, Pandora's curiosity got the best of her and she opened the box and she ended earthly paradise. From the small chest flew troubles and woes and sorrow and disease and vice, violence and greed and madness, old age and death to plague mankind forever. However, Zeus did not realize that hope had been added to the box by Prometheus. And when Pandora opened the box and released trouble and woe into the world, hope was there to help people survive. We can almost get behind this story, can't we? The names are off. The situation seems the same, doesn't it? People were the same. We have the same ideas. You know there is one true God, but it's interesting to see the people of other cultures at other times. And this is much later than this Greek mythology, is much later than the Hebrew Bible. But there's a woman, and you see her that she can't resist, just like Eve couldn't resist. And the fact is, you and I can't resist, can we? We'd open that box in 2 seconds, wouldn't we? We're the people who have the Christmas tree up on December 24th around 3:30 in the morning because we had a boy who was ADHD and he opened everything. So nothing was allowed in the house. He didn't even know it was Christmas time until that night because he was uncontrollable. How far he's come, he's doing great today. But we see that hope, the one thing that we couldn't live without is hope. And today is the hope candle. And we light it today, and we're going to talk about hope today. But we're going to move on to where we see Luke in chapter 20. It's really not quite time for the Christmas story, so we're going to save that for a couple weeks closer to Christmas. And we see here Luke in Luke chapter 20 that Jesus is in Jerusalem, and it's just a few days away from his crucifixion, where he's going to be arrested and nailed to a cross, and he's trying to teach people. He's talking to the teachers of the law, and he's talking to the crowds and showing them that the way they're doing things isn't right, that they have to follow God, get back to him. It's not about all these laws. It's about obeying the laws, but why do we obey it? The laws? Because we love him. And so Jesus is talking to while all the people were listening here in verse 45. Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes, and they love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. But they devour widows' houses, and for a show they make lengthy prayers, and these men will be punished most severely." Jesus is talking to me in this case. He's not talking to you right there. You know that? I'm a teacher of the law, and You do show me respect, and it's weird that you do. When I come into a meeting, people, they listen to me. I'm like, why do they listen to me? What do I know? You guys have all the wisdom, and it's a position that I hold so dear, and it's risky. You see, a I got a nasty text from my sister. To the world, my sister is successful, single mother raising two kids. And she's got the, that not a doctor, but not a nurse in the middle there, you know. She gets paid well, nurse practitioner, right? She's one of those, and she earned it. She's worked hard. She was Nurse of the Year at Christiana. And to the world, she's a gift. She's very talented. She decorates twice as well as Martha Stewart. She decorated so well, she won it. She went on with Kelly and Michael Strahan's show. She won, her place setting was so beautiful. She went there. She was on TV, and we were all happy. And she won the grand prize of the audience, you know. And it was amazing what she did. But she hates me. Oh. You know, calls me a thief, like I stole all the family's money, not to unleash all the baggage here, but my family ain't rich. Chuck, you know me. You think about the Herm money? You know. I know you guys. We see what you drive, and you know. And so I've done my best to with the family estate after mother's passing, and 8 years later I'm accused of being a thief. And I'm also a landlord, which is a world is not favorable to landlords. Everyone sides with the tenants, right? And so being a landlord, I had a tenant who moved out, but he lets his brother move in, not real brother, someone else. This is my brother, and it's not your real. If it was your brother, it'd be different. And I said he can't stay, and he says, "Well, you're a fraud. And I'm going to go to your church. I'm going to tell everybody what a fraud you are." I said, "Come on down, because if you disturb a church service, that is you can be arrested, and that is illegal in this state." So you think about it when someone says, you know, "I'm going to come expose them for who you are." And I got a text from my sister yesterday, and she thought she was being clever because she, once again, she's upset about things and wants things her way, but she doesn't see that we're doing things right. And you try to talk to her. And then she wrote to me and said, "You're not a pastor, you're an imposter." That was pretty clever, wasn't it? She should have said impastor, and that would have been witty. I'd have been, well, zing, well done. And so that's a scary part. It's scary knowing that this is, people want to knock you down. And, you know, today is, you know, it's not about me up here. I know who I am. I am an imposter. I can't imagine who fits the bill sometimes. Only one man did, right? Everyone has fallen short, we know. Romans 3:23. But let's move on. So he's sitting there. He's trying to convince people. He's got days to get his message across, and people aren't listening. Disciples aren't understanding it. He's told them three times what's going to happen to him, and they don't listen. And it's a simple time. He's sitting there in the marketplace and in front of the temples, and there's a woman walking by, and she goes up to the plate, and she puts a few coins in, a few copper coins. Jesus saw the rich people putting in their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. And he said to those gathered around him, "This poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put everything she had." She's given all. We see who Jesus is. See who Jesus praises, the simple woman who gave all she had. They're walking around Jerusalem, and he would be in the temples in the morning, and at night he would go up to the Mount of Olives, which you go up the valley of the Kidron Valley, and there's the shade trees of the olives. And in the evening, they're going to go back to Bethany to rest at Martha and Mary's house and Lazarus's house. But before they get there, he likes to instruct them, and the disciples are looking around at the temple, and it's so beautiful. It's white, and it's gilded, and has covered with gold in places. And the disciples were remarking about how beautiful the temple was, and it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "Listen, as what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." The disciples want to know when this is going to happen. And what will be the sign that they're about to take place? And Jesus tells them not to watch and to not to be deceived. "Many will come in my name, claiming that I am he and the time is near. But don't follow them." He says, "When you hear of wars and uprisings, don't be frightened. These things must happen. But at the end, they will not come right away. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be earthquakes and famines and pestilences in various places and fearful events and great signs from heaven. Before this happens, they will persecute you and seize you. And they will hand you over to the synagogues and put you in prison. You will be brought before kings and governors, all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But don't worry about what you're going to say. I'll give you the words and the wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to contradict. You will be betrayed by your parents and your brothers and your sisters and your relatives and your friends. And they will put some of you to death. And everyone will hate you because of me. But not a hair on your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life. And on he goes, talking to his disciples. Boy, do you see real life in the Bible there, isn't it? That if we do, I stand for Jesus, and it's not about me. I never ever stole a nickel from my family. I'm still condemned by them. Jesus points out my life right there. We will be betrayed by the ones we love, and I know it's because of mental illness. Everyone will hate you because we follow him. And you know, it's not because of him. They don't know who they're hating, do they? A couple weeks ago, we did the story of the 10 bridesmaids. Some versions say the 10 virgins. And my wife said, you know, it really got uncomfortable when you kept saying the 10 virgins. I'm like, well, that's what the Bible says. So if I ever repeat it, it'll be the bridesmaids, okay. And we saw them, and I was talking with my friend at down the Wellwood the other day. I said, you know, and I was talking with Bert about it. I said, that story, it seemed like I didn't end it right. And we were stuck, right, Phil? Remember, it was like, well, what does it mean to be prepared? And so Bert and I talked, and I talked with my friend Dane Hendricks. You know Dane. We had lunch on Thursday. Friday. And so we talked, and he said, you know, it was... The story is, are we prepared? And what are we supposed to be doing it? And it doesn't tell us. So we feel like we're lacking, like we're doing something wrong. We're all here today, right? We're all here to work, to hear the word. We're praying. We gave our tithes. We're gonna take the bread. And what's it come down to? And it's, no, we have already have the answer. I mean, this is a warning, I think, from Jesus, just to make you think. Things are coming. Nations will fight nations. We see that now, don't we? Things are falling apart. But who's going to be in the middle of it? And who do we need? And Jesus says, be ready for me. Advent means the coming. And we think about the coming of his birth, but we also as Christians know that it's about his second coming. He's coming again one day. He's going to come on a cloud. I don't know if I'll be here. Probably not with my health and my eating habits. I don't know if I'll see that second coming. I'll be there on the day when they raise the dead, for sure. But I have to go at 1 o'clock today and sit with a family. And I'm not sure how much they know about who Jesus is and what they know where their father is. But I know I get to sit down and tell them what happened. When he took his last breath, because he accepted Jesus. He didn't give his confession to me. We're not Catholic. We don't have a little closet where you all can tell me about confess to me. It'd be kind of fun. We could start that. I could sit in that little closet over there. The one that leads down to who knows where. I opened that door once, Chuck, and I closed it real quick. Satan was peeking around the corner with a pitchfork. I don't know what's down there now. In the garden, Eve didn't listen. Adam didn't listen very good either. They listened to the lie. And we see Pandora. She gave in to temptation. But what they couldn't destroy, they let out everything else. And pain in childbirth and the working in the fields and malice and wars and all these things happened. But they couldn't crush hope. Because hope comes from the Father through the Son. Hope comes this time where we know our friend, they passed away. And there were a few empty chairs this year at everyone's house, wasn't there, at Thanksgiving? And there will be next year. And it just, things move on. But we have hope, don't we? And you can't take it from us because we know who we believe in. We know that he's coming again. We know that he came once as a little baby boy. And we say that in our creed every week. that he was born of a virgin, that he was born of the Holy Spirit. We know that he lived a sinless life, and he went to the cross as a redemption for our sins. And if we believe in him, we will live in forever. What's it take to gain eternal life? What does the Apostle Paul say when he's in prison? The jailer says, "What must I do?" And Paul says, "It's simple, folks. It's so simple. Just believe in the Lord. Just accept Jesus as Savior, and you will be saved." And I'm one of those who believe that you cannot be taken away from me. You put your faith in Jesus. You say that Jesus is my Lord and he is my Savior. And that's what I proclaim. I'm not the best person in the world. I'm not a thief, that's for sure. I'm not stealing from the family the $8 we get from farming. But I know who I believe in. And I do this because the Lord tells me to do this. That I need to stand up here and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ to those who believe and those who may not believe, to bring his hope into the world. Would you pray with me, my friends? Heavenly Father, we gather here today to worship you, that you are the hope of the world, that one day all things will be restored, all things that are broken will be put back together again. The beautiful temple that the disciples gazed upon, the beautiful stones and the limestone covering and the gilded steeples, it was all turned to dust because they turned away from you. But there's a new Jerusalem that you will bring down from heaven. And you, Jesus, will reign for 1,000 years. And we will rise up and we will have new bodies and we will come together. And we will sing choruses to you, Father, that you will be at the center and we will see you face to face one day. And we will bow down and worship you. And you will come to us and you will pick us up and you will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, well done. Enter into your reward." And you'll place upon our heads a crown of righteousness that we don't deserve, but you will place it on there because your Son made us righteous. We are a grateful and a thankful people because we don't get what we deserve. We get better than that. Your Son didn't get what he deserved. He took what we deserve on his back so that we can see you face to face, Father. And we pray this in the name, his name, the name above all other names, Jesus, who is Lord. Through the Spirit we pray, amen.